Hello, the internet. So Alan's already screwed up the show.
I have not.
So it's already broken.
If you guys are listening again, why don't you just, like, I don't know, see if 60 Minutes is on.
Hey. See if Dateline NBC is blowing up any GMC pickups. Alan sigh. Drink.
Do they still make 60 Minutes? Are there still?
Yeah, you know what? I don't know. I haven't watched network TV in so long. I don't.
Are there still enough people in nursing homes that are too sick to change the channel that are watching?
their grandsons don't visit enough.
So I was at the dentist today, and they got these, like, I guess everywhere they do this. So they have like a TV hanging in front of your face.
Yeah, right over your head.
And, oh, mine doesn't do that.
Well, so, and they so have some start- say some inane show thing on, and I said, can we just turn that off? And they look like they looked at me like I was insane. You don't want to watch the TV? No, I don't want to watch the TV.
It's television, of course. I don't want to watch it.
Yeah. Remember, I remember, like, my wife and I had spent the night at my parents' house, and we were just like up in the morning, and like my dad's cooking breakfast, and they put the Today Show on.
Why?
And after about 15 minutes of that, I'm like, can we put like a grown-up station on?
There aren't any.
No, it's TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the most retarded bullshit ever.
Oh, not the R word.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
It's the most re shit ever. Fuck you and your political correctness. All I'm saying, it's essentially like the Today Show is essentially like your high school superlatives got a journalism degree.
Oh, man.
Well,
just a bunch of catty, inane, idiotic stuff.
Yeah. That describes pretty much all of television.
Yeah, I love it when those people try to be serious. You know, they like try to do like an in-depth kind of bullshit thing. And
you don't have to voice anyone, Jay. It's not moderated.
Well, nice, it was telling Jay. Me I couldn't post.
Well, yeah, before I made the room not moderated.
Ah, okay. We have 11. Shut up. It's New Hall. Told you, I'm lazy. I don't pay attention.
It's IRC. Well,
that's internet relayed chat for you following along at home.
How about we do this?
And that call-in number.
Ah, shit. There we go. Flip the switch. It is Thursday, April 23rd, 2015. This is episode 147 of the Squirrel Report. Theoretically, we're going to have Oleg on.
Mm-hmm. But like I said, Alan already screwed up the show.
But he hasn't called yet. So.
I screwed up the chat, so.
I don't know. We'll see.
You know, today is Silence Day.
Is it Silence Day?
Everybody who likes Doctor Who, today's the day.
Oh, is it?
Uh-huh.
Huh?
April 23rd.
How did I not know this?
I don't
know. Silence?
You have to watch Doctor Who.
The day after Lennon's birthday.
You'd have to watch the show.
Yeah, but I'm not going to.
Oh, well.
You know, you're not on Facebook. You don't watch Doctor Who.
Why do we like you, weird?
Yeah, what's up?
Because I'm adorable.
Because you're cute. Yeah. It counts for something.
And he has bunny soft hair. No, wait, that's Alan.
I have bunny soft hair, too. It's not quite as soft.
You have Brillo pad hair.
I don't either. You're the one that has Brillo pad.
Dark you guys savage. Are fighting like little boys. How cute.
It's just on my back.
And I made and I made stuffed peppers today.
Good for you, weird.
Because I'm a housewife.
Would you stuff them?
Nice. Do you do laundry?
Not today.
No, I mean, do you?
Oh, yeah.
What
are you
windows?
For hire?
I
hate laundry.
Yes, Brita, but I'm not going to take it in currency from you.
Oh, dear. Well, I don't have that much ammo, so.
Well, while we're twiddling our thumbs, I wanted to announce, I had a post earlier in the week. We've decided, well, I decided, and it's pretty much me and me alone.
And we unilaterally agree, or we don't show up next week.
I decided that we would have an award. The what did I call it? I can't even remember what I called it.
It's called the acorn.
No, it's not called the acorn.
It is called the acorn.
It's called the squirrely.
No, I like
you decided it was the acorn.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to side with Brita on this one,
it's
Alan.
It's the squirped prize.
Jay, you're the final
prize?
Vote.
I don't think we want a squirt prize, Alan.
The squirt prize will be awarded annually to the person we select to receive it.
Rewarded annually? What?
Annually.
I still like to call it the acorns.
And it will be solely a popularity contest on who we like best.
And Alan's a misanthropist.
The first one will be awarded live on the show June 4th, 2015.
Do we get to a campaign kind of?
You can do whatever you want. It won't make any difference.
Like try to who gets to vote?
Me.
Oh, you're the Alan. What?
Well, I'll take input. It's a smoke-filled room deliberation. It's not a, you know.
So some sort of like seedy back room.
Yes,
it's all about
dingy walls, the yellow ceiling.
Can it all be about bribes?
Yes,
I think it's about time for this podcast to start making money.
There you go.
Alan, I don't want to know about your yellow ceiling. That's all I'm saying.
What is the award for? Like, what are the you have to be qualified how? Like, what is it
It
for?
Says in the post.
I don't read your posts.
The decision will be based solely on who we like best.
Just across the board.
It is a popularity contest.
Oh, geez. Well, I'd like to say right now, for the record, I have boobs.
All right. So I'll announce our... I'll go ahead and announce our winner for
the first annual Brita Award.
The first annual Squirt Prize will be awarded to Brita.
Isn't that how it works on the internet? Right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Sure does.
Especially the gun blogs. Oh my god.
Yep.
Hooray for boobies!
Well, it could be worse.
Yeah.
We could pretend it was something.
Yes.
You know,
we could pretend it was something like the Nobel Peace Prize.
Right. And when in reality, it was just complete bullshit, like all those other prizes are anyway. And in case you haven't clued in yet, this is, you know, because of the prize.
The drama. Hugo Award?
Yes, the Hugo Award drama.
Well, I read an article this week that the Pulitzer is like that.
Yes, it is.
And the Pulitzer not only is like that, but has always been that way.
Yes.
Has been like a popularity, political kind of,
yep.
You know, are you in or are you out? Are you one of us or are you not?
All of those prizes, the Nobel Prize, the Pulitzer Prize, everything.
The Oscars.
Yes, exactly. The Oscars have always been that way.
Yeah. Oh, you know who else? The People's Sexiest So-and-So of the Year Award.
Oh, yeah,
is
that's
that
ridiculous.
Way too. You know who's the sexiest woman of the year this year? And it totally caught me off guard. Sandra Bullock. I'm like, why? Does she have a new movie coming out or something? Or
has she done anything in the past like 5 years?
I don't know.
Wasn't like The Blind Side the last thing she did?
And Gravity.
She was in The Heat.
Gravity.
I like The Heat. Actually, the Heat is runs top one for the number one. You know, Sandra Bullock movie that I like.
She was in Gravity.
I liked her in Practical Magic.
That was good.
I also liked her in Demolition Man.
That was good. Yeah,
yeah, Demolition Man was good.
But everything else, I hated her. Her and Julia Roberts can both die in a fire.
Well, I did not understand the sexiest. I don't know. What has she done? Is she in a movie? I should Google this.
Could have been worse. Could have been Hillary Swank.
See, this is People's 2015 World's Most Beautiful Woman.
Or Hillary Clinton. I'm surprised it wasn't her.
Even People's doesn't have the balls to pull that off.
She's 50 years old, which, you know, God bless her. I'm headed that way.
You stop right now.
Hey, 9 years, man. I'm 50.
Six. So, Alan's got minus like 30. That.
That's Alan. But
besides, 50.
Isn't it usually like some little starlet that they have decided is super gorgeous with the boobs this year? I don't know.
Alan, were you wearing a mohair leisure suit when you turned 50?
No.
Wow. Wow. That was his beatnik phase.
His beatnik.
He's doing the finger snapping instead of jazz hands.
Did you share an apartment with Allen Ginsberg in Manhattan?
No, Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
No.
Oh, gross. I can't even be that mean to Allen. I do like him a little bit.
So
yeah, that call-in topic is, can you dial the phone? Can you press 214-530-0036? Press those numbers and tell us that you did.
Mash down on the phone with your reaching wand.
Oh. The old booger hook.
About that.
We had a topic this week.
Yes, we did.
Waiting for the topic to arrive.
Yeah. We can start warming up by the kind of like subtopic-y.
Yeah, we can. Because.
Go for it.
Yeah. Well, I was amazed at just how much like all of these like .gov agencies are just totally just falling apart right now.
Well, I think the thing is they've pretty much always been incompetent. They were just really good at hiding the fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have stopped giving a fuck. I think that's what the deal is. And read into it what you want, but they don't even have to pretend anymore. Why is that? I mean, the Secret Service especially. The Secret Service has always been, at least, you know, the public image of the Secret Service has been Reagan's assassination attempt. You know, we'll explain it for Breida and Weird, who were too young to remember it. But
I remember it vaguely.
I mean, you just saw this whirlwind of activity. It was a whirlwind of cheap gray suits and machine guns. And Reagan was in the limo with guys with machine guns everywhere and off to the hospital like that. And it was just this stunning display of, I mean, these guys were coming out. They were popping up out of sewer drains and just...
And yeah, it was kind of amazing at how quick those Uzis appeared.
Yeah. And now it's like they're freaking crashing into barricades. They're like the drunken Keystone Cops. you expect to see video of the Secret Service show up with Yakety Sax playing.
Yeah.
You know, you just see these guys. You know, there's some dude jumps the fence, runs at the house, gets inside the damn White House, and they're all just like, is he supposed to be here? I don't know. Is he supposed to be here? Somebody ought to do something. You know, it's like,
you're not on the list.
Yeah.
Sir, let me just remind you that you are not on the list. Would you like to phone a friend?
Would you like to make a campaign donation to get on the list?
Yeah. Yeah, you got that. I mean, you've got the fucking, you know, this whole like DEA of like agents partying with the cartels. And then when Congress says, why don't you fire this fucker? And then the director goes, well, I can't do that. I'm like, well, what the fuck do we pay you for? Like that should have been. I had an old boss that was his like go-to line is, what the fuck do I pay you people for? and that is like the one time when like that was perfect of the, what the fuck do we pay you for then? And so now we don't pay her anymore.
Well, you know,
technically she retired, so no. Now we just pay her for the same amount of work.
So, I mean, the list we can go down is endless. I mean, it came out today that the Secret Service said that the George Bush's alarm system at his home needed to be replaced back in 2010.
Oh my!
It stopped working in 2013, and they just now replaced it.
Okay, I guess they were functioning under the assumption of course he's protected. Of course the security system works. Well, of course, you know, it's not the president.
It's George Bush. He's got a chainsaw and he's got Dick Cheney with his shotgun. He's good.
Yeah, you don't want to have Dick Cheney guarding you with a shotgun. I'm just saying. there may have been cocktails placed, and he might have gotten disqualified from IPSC for breaking the 180.
No. He just lost 5 points for hitting a no shoe.
Oh man.
Oh goodness.
Oh, well played, Jay. So it's like Alan's the only gamer geek in this group.
Huh?
Britt, have you ever shot a competitive pistol match?
Oh, I have not.
No.
Yeah.
Britt would totally kick all of
Jay, us. Jay, you're Mr. like carbine king.
I don't know.
Whatever happened to Jay Commander Nerves?
What?
You and I will go shooting, and you'll just like shoot these like little teeny tiny ragged holes in your target, and then suddenly we'll have a blog shoot, and you'll shoot like the super ultra mega improved fucking, you know, blunderbuss trumpet shotgun grouping on the target.
Damn.
You're bouncing them down the range.
It's the bashful bladder of shooting.
That's exactly.
It's like, if there's anybody else fucking, I suck.
Yeah, you put people around watching Jay shoot.
Are you like the guy in what was it, Mystery Men, that could only be invisible when no one was looking? Yes. Jay can only shoot good when no one's watching him.
That's it.
Really is, except for now, evidently in this. How many people were at this carbine match?
I think there were 17.
Yeah, that's a small blog shoot, but that's still up there. So, yeah, you suddenly did okay.
Well, and I knew some of them. And Bob Owens was there, and Tom McHale. Like, have you met Bob?
No.
Bearingarms.com.
Aren't we supposed to drink?
I'm trying to think if I have.
Have you met
I know Bob? I've talked to Tom a bunch, but I haven't met him in person.
When Jay name drops, we drink.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm out of whiskey. Sorry.
Uh oh. Show I fail.
I know.
Wait a minute. Brita is out of whiskey.
Well,
is it like me being out of vermouth?
So you've also got, you know, it goes beyond the Secret Service. You've got the FBI who apparently can't catch anyone there. They didn't set up themselves.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, they've been like that for decades.
You got the DEA that's on the take from the cartels themselves that they're, you know, supposed to be trying to catch and stop.
And their supervisor isn't actually capable of supervising.
Right. You've got the IRS who decides to channel six, you know, money away from customer service into something else, you know, unions and bonuses and whatnot to make what was it, 16 million people weren't able to get tax help from the IRS this year that tried. And I mean, it's just, and you know, it's just willful, you know, fuck you America from these people.
And then you've got ATF, like, you know, suddenly claiming that they're going to ban just this one type of ammo that doesn't meet any criteria because this newfangled type of gun that's existed since the early 90s.
Well, yeah. And then, oh, and then the shotgun thing. Yeah, all these pistol grip shotguns we said were okay. Yeah, maybe they're not. Maybe they're destructive devices now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just a general rule of just the, you know, the ATF with like the Aikens accelerator and,
right,
you know, yeah, all these other guns that are just like one of those, they're good until we say they're not.
It's a lot like the Mass Attorney General.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we have a caller.
Oh. Yep.
This is area code 915. Hello.
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 I hear Alan. Yeah, hello.
Greetings, caller.
Hello, okay. Greetings.
Who's this?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, it's the caller to the Squirrel Report.
Who is this?
History caller.
It's the phrase that pays.
Yeah, well, tell us whether your refrigerator is running and can you catch it?
Who is this?
Let out Prince Albert from his can. Wait a minute.
Okay, hang up.
Alan, you know who this is.
No, we don't.
Hey.
What?
Well, you guys asked me one time, you know.
Huh?
Okay, that's enough.
No, really, who is it? What?
That's enough.
Wow.
Weird. Yeah, okay.
All right, this person's definitely winning the Squirped Award.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Squirped Award goes to Mystery Caller.
Yes.
Your award will be placed for your collection in the dumpster out back.
Left on Funk and Magnol's porch.
Oh,
yes, I just reached in.
What was that character's name? Was it Karnak?
Karnak. The amazing.
Yeah.
Johnny Carson was the host of The Tonight Show before Jay Leno, who was the host before Jimmy Fallon. For our younger viewers out there.
You know what I just heard the other day was I heard that under no circumstances did Johnny actually quit smoking during the show. They just suddenly just made it to a point where he had a cigarette hidden in his desk.
What?
And when the camera cut to a close-up of the guest, he would pull it out, take a rip, and had an exhaust vent up above his head, and he would blow the smoke up into the exhaust
vent.
And the audience was told about this beforehand so that they would not, like...
Oh, my God.
Or just chuckle at just the contrivedness of it.
Well, I mean, he left in 92, and that was... At the tail end, that was smoking was still okay.
Yeah, but I'm trying to remember. I mean, it's not like I saw that many, you know, that many Tonight shows. Just you know, given my age, I wasn't allowed to stay up that late, but every so often. And I don't think I ever recall seeing him smoke. But then again, also that was the time when smoking was still absolutely okay.
Yeah,
you used to be able to smoke at the mall.
Yeah, you used to be able to smoke on planes.
You used to be able to smoke everywhere.
You used to be able to smoke at the hospital. Like, in the hospital. I remember...
You know what?
They had smoking rooms, yes.
They had smoking rooms.
The room you were in.
Yes.
You know what's so fucked up, though, is now, like, new planes. Like, it totally made sense when you had, like, these planes from the old planes from the 80s. That have just kind of been refurbished a few times. And they still had that little no smoking light up above. You know, because it was one of those, like, yeah, I remember, you know, back when you were allowed to smoke on the planes and
yeah,
you know, and it would be I think it was like during takeoff and landing, you were not allowed to smoke. And so it would suddenly, the captain has turned on just so you know, the captain has turned on the no smoking, you know, light. But now they've just got the light and it just sits there. And it's one of those things of it just fucking put a no smoking sign on the door when you come in there, no smoking, whole plane.
Yeah.
And then they tell you no smoking.
I remember I smoked a cigarette on a transatlantic flight in 1994.
Wow.
Yeah. But there was like a very...
You were old enough to smoke in 1994, Brita.
Yes, I was.
Okay, I'm just checking.
There was like a very small section of the airplane. And,
shit, old enough.
Shut up, Alan. And
was it the screen porch?
No, but it was like an understood thing that nobody kind of occupied those seats. You kind of, you know, sat there, had your cigarette rotated out so the next person could have, you know.
Man, but, I remember
we had the
smoking section, the smoking area in high school.
Oh wow!
And people would rush out there between classes and smoke. And you'd see, and it was funny because, you know, the teacher's lounge was like a smoke filled den.
That was what I was going to say.
But every once in a while you'd find that, you know, the teachers would be out bumming cigarettes from the students smoking out in the smoking area.
Everybody in our high school just smoked in the bathroom.
Yeah. Well, it's because it was illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I remember, yeah, seeing the door to the teacher's lounge open up and just a
cloud
just
of smoke.
Big old cloud of smoke came out.
It looked like Spicoli's van.
Yeah. It was like I heard somebody saying something about like John Boehner just having the innate ability to make a pack of cigarettes disappear on command. That must have been how the smoking went down in like the smoking lounges. They must have just chained like three or four of those suckers together.
Oh, sure.
Just somebody lit like one match and everyone just huddled around it and smoked a pack of cigarettes.
I think our mystery caller is back. This is area code 915. Is this Kermit? Hello.
It's still not going to work.
Do I have to do Garrett Morris for the hair? Hello, caller.
Oh, Kermit. There, I can hear you now.
Okay, you can hear me now. Yeah, I thought you were just hung up on me because I was still going with the mystery caller.
Nope.
You sound like you're talking at the end of a tunnel.
A very long tunnel.
That's probably an artifact of a Bluetooth headset going into calling over Wi-Fi.
Oh, good Lord.
But you're good now.
Because, that's mainly because.
And you're bad.
Is this where I start insisting everyone use a fucking landline to call in? Because
who has a landline?
I don't know.
Actually, we do. The problem is it actually has a cord, and the computers are in a completely different room than the landline.
All I heard out of that whole last sentence was crazy.
Yeah, no, it's really faint. I'm going to hang up on you again, Kermit. Enjoy.
Sorry. Can we talk about the IRS?
Yes. Let's talk about the IRS.
Because it came out today yesterday. The IRS deliberately cut its own customer service budget.
Yes.
Which
I
means...
didn't know the IRS had customer service budget.
Let me tell you.
This affected you directly.
Directly. Yes, for months. What these government agencies do is they cut shit and then they tell people, go to your public library.
Yeah.
Librarians will help you.
Right.
We can't help you if there's nothing. Okay. The IRS not only cut its customer service budget this year, but it also did not send out the fucking booklets. Like the 1040 booklets and the, you know,
right.
All they sent out really was the forms, which are for the idiots that still use those are pretty useless without the books. So So you have the form, but how do I fill out the form? Oh, I don't know. You know what they had us do? They had us tell library patrons to call a phone number. To request tax booklets to be sent to their house. So I'm having, okay, they cut their customer service budgets. They don't send out booklets. They send people to the library and say to the librarians, tell people to call us. When they have cut their customer service budget. So I'm not quite sure how they expect people to do their taxes.
Maybe they don't.
It's just, I don't, they want their money, but they're making it impossible for people to send them their money.
The nice thing about it is that if you say, you know, I mean, there's lots of people that, you know, that like to play that game of just the, oh no, you know, I'm going to make it absolutely impossible. You know, everyone hear about like these modern companies that, you know, are like, oh no, you've got to like, you know, You gotta send us a COD. We don't have like a PayPal account or anything like that. Yeah. Okay, that's easy. I won't fucking buy your shit then.
Yeah.
You know, certified dealer. That we don't have a website or you need to call us to actually place an order instead of allowing us to do a website order. Okay, cool. I won't pay you. Yeah. Well, the cool thing about the IRS is if you don't pay them, they'll eventually kick down your door and shoot you in the face.
Right. You don't have a choice.
So it's one of those, like, yeah, make it impossible to pay because who cares?
Area code 207. Hello.
Hello.
It's Ryan.
What's up?
Who's Ryan?
Ryan Machad from Handgun Radio.
Oh. Hey. You know,
the most ridiculous thing is the fact that the IRS even has an armed unit.
The Library of Congress has an armed unit.
The Library Police.
They do.
I like armed unit.
Oh, Jay.
That's our metal band.
Sometime.
Awesome. So how are you doing up in the wild woods of central Maine?
I'm trying not to freeze, trying to stay nice and dry.
Alan turned up his air conditioning.
Yeah, I did.
So did you guys have Oleg on tonight?
No.
Tried to.
No.
He stood us up.
Yeah.
Here I am in this lovely prom dress, and there's no Oleg.
I wore my Wonder Woman onesie today.
I saw him at NRA. I was actually too scared to go up and talk to him. I probably should have.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should have. He's unbelievably approachable. I went up to him and said hi. I said, hi, Oleg. And then he said, you know, I think we're going to the same place. If you want, I got a seat in my car. And I went, oh, okay. And next thing you know, that I was riding in a car with Oleg.
Yeah, I've loved his stuff ever since I was a kid. I remember reading his stuff on his blog there on his website.
And weird, since it was Oleg, you were probably naked by the time you got there, weren't you?
I was hoping, but unfortunately it did not. Like, he took a picture of Jay in front of me, and I'm like, look at me and look at Jay. Why is your lens attracted to that one? Jay, I love you to death, but you're borderline deformed.
Oh. What? What?
No.
Poor Jay.
Don't listen to him.
Yeah, we haven't met yet, so you can't say that about me yet.
Oh, what about you?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? We've done most of our shows you've done with video.
Yeah, with you and a little picture, and it just shows you holding your shotgun.
Yeah, because I don't have a webcam. Because I do podcasts. I don't
if
get
you
all
have
these
everything
people
else,
who want to
no
do video.
Webcam.
Hey, you want the beard? You got to pay extra.
That's right.
That's true. That's true. I don't know if I can handle it. Well, I just figured I would call in, say hi to you fellas and gals. Really enjoy the show so far. The IRS discussion was quite humorous.
Oh yeah, they suck.
I still like the DEA. I mean, just straight up, like, we're supposed to be arresting you, or you could buy us a beer.
Yeah.
It's a lot like the ABM, you know, found on the side manufacturing their own machine guns. Yeah. We're the DEA, so we're partying with the cartels.
Well, technically, we've got the FBI found on the side manufacturing their own terrorists.
Yeah. They make it up.
Well, and you've got the Secret Service and their prostitutes.
Ah, hookers.
Hookers and flow. Or as we like to call them, the Secret Service and the DEA.
Yeah. If they're sober enough to actually access the prostitutes.
Maybe that's it. We're trying to get them so drunk, they're too drunk to screw hookers.
There you go. That's a good way of preventing it.
I don't want to say it was aliens, but...
All right. Well, have a good night, and keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Talk to you later, Ryan.
All righty then.
I still love the picture that was floating around after the Secret Service and the Colombian hookers broke, where it's Bill Clinton just coming out on stage.
Oh yeah,
and it's captioned. Did somebody say Colombian hookers?
Oh,
Bill Clinton. We're gonna have 8 more years of him, guys. Woo-hoo!
No, we're not. There's no way.
Yeah, Jeb Bush and Chris Christie beg to differ.
No
Bush Christie.
No, I, again, I. I see this as I think they've all decided that Elizabeth Warren getting kind of sort of but not quite drafted is the best way. They're making the party base get hungry for it. Because again, Hillary has no chance whatsoever, and she knows it. But she's raising a ton of dough, and so she knows that I won't necessarily be able to be president. But hey, guess what? I can do a whole bunch of shit, because if I give $1 billion to whoever it is that is the heir apparent, they're going to have my ear when it comes to when it comes to policy.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, you know. Let's step into the evil universe and look at Hillary being president. You know, you think, well, I was going to say, do you really think Bill Clinton wouldn't have a say in it? But honestly,
I don't think he gives a flying fuck.
I think he'd be off partying somewhere. I don't think
I think
he wouldn't care at all.
Oh, I can't remember who said it, but someone actually put a dollar figure to how much money you would have to make just to live the lifestyle of a president of the United States. So not even like the what you're getting paid to be president, which really isn't all that much.
Right.
But just the private jet, private security firm, all this secrecy and just added benefits, plus the White House and Camp David and blah 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 blah. It's a pretty posh lifestyle, and it would cost you a lot of money to kind of do that sort of business all on your own. Well, and I think that's what Bill wants.
How many people actually live in an 18th century palace?
It's true. Now, I'd say the only thing Bill would have a say is when Hillary's off on junket, I believe he would keep the keys to the Oval Office just so he can get blown under the desk again.
Old times, yeah.
That's right. Looking up at the flag.
Pretending he's talking about military deployments.
Nah.
That's right.
Where's that cigar?
Oh, man. I just... Like, when has that ever been a thing? Like, has anybody ever done that, like, before or after?
What?
Shoved a cigar up somebody as a thing.
Not a cigar.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's the Tijuana strippers that can blow smoke rings, but...
I mean, without being too crude about it, there's a long history of putting things in things.
Well, what?
It's cryptic.
Well, I mean, it's not like it's new.
Ask anyone who works in healthcare.
They've got, you know, archaeological discoveries going back 30,000 years finding sex toys, for God's sake.
Well, yes. But I'm actually saying specifically...
Those are fertility symbols.
I'm saying specifically it being a cigar, because, you know, just so you know, cigars, once they get some moisture on them, they lose a whole lot of structural integrity.
Maybe they were in the tubes.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh,
I don't know. Hey, Alan, can we get Bill Clinton on as a guest?
We'll promise some hookers.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, we're not at all going to talk about your wife's cankles. We're just going to talk about your escapades. Tell us your top 10.
Who's the hottest chick you ever banged in the Oval Office?
And who's the dumpiest?
Well, we know it's not Hillary.
Who's the hottest you ever banged, consensual and non-consensual?
Yeah, I'm... you know, if you could get an honest word out of him, that would be one hell of an interview.
Yeah. I wonder if that'll ever happen. If there'll ever be like the Bill Clinton Playboy interview where like it's one of those, like, Hillary's completely foundered. Maybe he's even divorced her ass. He's like, he's living at the Playboy Mansion grotto. He's just like, he's just doing rails just in public, giving people the finger because he just doesn't give a shit anymore and just going to start like doing his tell all.
I'm about to die and I don't give a shit.
That's right.
You know,
that's right. It's all downhill from here anyway. There's no hope of me ever reclaiming my found glory. Because let's face it, he can't have any faith in like Chelsea doing anything with her life.
Oh, please.
It's one of those, like, I don't care how deadbeat a dad he is. He had to have watched her MSNBC reporting.
Oh, hang on. I think I've got a lead caller. All right, there he is.
Hello.
Hi, let me see if I can add this to the conference it in. Hold on.
Sorry, I'm late.
Oh, we're back.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to do this.
Again, Alan's broke the show.
Crap.
You could have been watching 60 Minutes, people. Maybe they'd have Andy Rooney on, despite his recent affliction.
I am just really screwing this up left and right.
Alan's actually manually putting wires together.
There we go. And I think we have Oleg on.
I think so, too.
All right.
Ooh, it's Oleg!
And welcome, Oleg.
Flash voice.
Well, thanks for calling.
Thanks for having me on the show.
And we've lost Brita. Okay. I can't.
As to where the topic has gone up to now.
Pardon?
We forgot.
Oh, yeah, we're just rambling on. We were talking about the incompetence of government at every level at this point.
We figured you'd fit right in with that.
Yeah.
In joining us.
Is incompetency a feature or a bug? Yeah. I wonder if it's a built-in feature.
Well, I think to a certain extent it's probably both.
Yeah.
So
It's a natural reaction to the complete and utter lack of oversight or give a damn.
So anyway, this is Oleg Volk. He is a photographer, artist,
visual communicator.
Yes. And you've probably seen his work. If you read any kind of gun magazine, you've seen his commercial work. If you read the internet, you've seen his, his advocacy photos. I put one in the post that I particularly liked, the one that said the disarm get neither safety nor dignity. I really like that. And one of the things I like about Oleg's stuff, a lot of people, a lot of the anti-gun people, they have their position based on it's an emotional thing. They don't care about facts. They just think guns are icky and all that kind of stuff. But I think more than anything, the visual media is great for conveying an emotion. And a lot of your stuff is really very emotionally powerful.
Hopefully.
Anyway.
I run into quite a few people who tell me that they got into RKBA advocacy because they read something while they were in high school or junior high or at a later age. But I've been doing this since late 90s, so there's quite a few people who have been at it for quite some time themselves who were influenced at some point in the past.
Sure. And you were not born in the United States, right? You were...
I was born in the Soviet Union.
Right.
I'd like to say that my father was an American who was born in the wrong country by accident, and he remedied it as quickly as he was able to. So we got here in 1989, and I haven't looked back since.
Yeah, and it's an interesting thing. I actually know several people that were unwilling citizens of socialist paradises, and they're all to a person, they are all firm Second Amendment advocates, because and they, you know, they see what happens when you know, when the government has all the guns.
And even more interestingly, I do pro-freedom propaganda in quite a few languages, and sometimes they're translations from the American examples, and often they're done for the specific country, such as Poland or Russia or Switzerland or Germany. And I recently got an award from a Russian pro-legalization of carry and pro-legalization of handguns. Apparently, I've done enough to help their cause that they wanted me to accept a plaque from their group.
I saw that.
Something probably would not have been able to make happen had I stayed there.
Probably not. Yeah.
To them both than domestically.
Well, and was it? And I may be misremembering it. This, but didn't Putin himself come out saying people ought to arm themselves for self defense?
I don't pay very close attention to who says what there. Certainly not Putin, but the strange bedfellows in politics were definitely in evidence on the legalization of carry. It seems like almost every Russian political group is for it in principle, but somehow it does not happen. Plus, Russia appears to have a wee bit of a problem with racism, to where their standard argument is, of course, Russians should be able to carry, but what about everybody else? What about all the animals that are not Russian that will walk our streets with guns? They're basically looking at the 1938 German approach, where the ownership and carry of guns were liberalized under Hitler, but only for the right people, and completely prohibited for those people who are not considered right.
Right. Well, of course, the problem with that solution is the people that are considered right can change.
Of course. The Irish Civil War was a good example of that. They've lost several times more people in fighting between the two sides of the Irish Republic than they did fighting the British. And one of the things that they were enforcing was prohibition on carry unless you were deputized by the party. And that was a death penalty offense. They managed to kill off quite a few of their compatriots over the offense of going armed.
Oh, lovely.
Of course.
So I just wanted to ask you, I don't know, I've not read this anywhere, but you are a photographer. Did you always want to be a photographer, or how did you get started?
Since about age 3, I wanted to be an illustrator for books. And I am a book illustrator now, just I do it with a camera and computer instead of drawing. I'm not that good at freehand drawing. And I used to do a lot of photography both for its own sake and to draw from the pictures. And eventually I realized that drawing from the photos was not improving things. So I just use Photoshop and use cameras. And I realized in the late 90s when I first got into guns and gun politics that I wasn't that good of a rifleman, and certainly not particularly well-trained infantry. So I could be propaganda corps and be far more useful.
Well, that's what we're all doing now.
Well, it is much better to win in the propaganda level, because if you convince somebody, you win by two. They lose one, you gain one.
Right.
If you merely shoot somebody, you first off only remove one from their ranks, but you add various sympathizers and avengers, and it deteriorates pretty quickly. So winning without a fight is definitely an improvement.
Yep.
And as far as I'm concerned, our side has a better chance of winning politically. The guns are here to keep the other side from trying a shortcut of doing things by force, which is what they could do in other areas.
Well, that's usually the pattern, right? You know, they get enough power to take guns away from the other side, and then they, you know, the boxcars start rolling.
Pretty much. Or field re-education camps in the case of Cambodia.
Right.
This was actually an interesting example. How messed up do you have to get in the span of only a couple of years for the invasion by the communist Vietnamese to be viewed as a humanitarian salvation?
Oh, wow.
Which ended Pol Pot's regime. So you can sink pretty low that way. U.S., for all of its warts and problems, is still politically a pretty benign country. And Americans tend to view politics as a cyclical event where every 2 or 4 or 6 years you have a chance to improve matters. Whereas in a lot of places, it's happens once and everybody plays for keeps. And if you lose, you don't just lose the election. You lose your life, liberty, and whatever else you held dear. So I'm fairly positive about how things are around here still.
Yeah, it's you know, as horrible as the Obama administration has been, its days are numbered, and we know it's going to change.
Look at the plus side. We have visibly incompetent and malicious critter in the White House. If we had somebody with Obama's ethics belt, but Bill Clinton's charm, we would have been in a lot more trouble.
Oh yeah.
In general, if you look at some of the socialist paradises like California and New Jersey, they're pretty messed up, but they're also losing people capable of moving. They're losing their tax base. They're losing their electoral influence. And certain places, such as Wisconsin, do unexpectedly quick reversals from left to right, or at least from socialist to less socialist, such as becoming a right-to-work state, such as getting legal carry.
Yeah,
well, even here in Massachusetts, I mean, number one, we lost Jay. Jay took off as soon as he was given an opportunity. But also, I mean, my entire duration of living here after Mitt Romney signed the permanency of the assault weapons ban, there really hasn't been any gun bills presented up until just recently. And essentially, it was started off as an anti-gun bill, but the pro-gun side twisted it enough that it actually essentially became a pro-gun bill. Some people refer to it as a compromise, but I really think all the compromise things are just the "I dare you to use this anti-gun trope," because that'll just call in Alan Gura.
That's actually been the other encouraging thing, is that we have had some wins in the courts, even though the enforcement of those wins is far away. It does help with the discussions and with being able to tell people that, look, the courts are finally recognizing something resembling reason.
Well, I mean, I got to say, actually, one of the bigger things that I think helps win is, like, on my blog, I'll be talking about, you know, various things. You know, two of the big ones are, you know, the right to keep and bear arms, and also just getting rid of the TSA. And people will point out, you know, oh, you know, who cares about the facts? Because in the end, you've got the right to keep and bear arms, or, you know, the TSA has the Fourth Amendment. They're violating the Fourth Amendment no matter what you say. But, you know, in the end, the people that allow the gun control to go through, or are favorable to gun control and allow the TSA to take in, they don't really care or have a firm grasp of the, you know, Second or Fourth Amendment. But really the big point is but when you can point out the fact that the TSA has cost us billions of dollars, is just shameful and inconvenient and accomplished nothing, or that you can show that people have been getting their carry permits, people have been jumping through the hoops, people have been getting guns, and the crime rate is going down, that really has a good factor of moving people that are on the total other side of the fence.
I agree.
And dead air.
Yeah, we get that a lot. So you know, I know your bread and butter is commercial photography. And do you do anything else besides? I know you do a lot of photos for ads and things like that. Do you?
At this point, my bread and butter is a mix of editorial writing, advertising copywriting, technical consulting. I'm now getting into designing handguns, rifles, mostly on the interface design side. Oh. I've designed bullets for several companies that are going to go into production this year.
Please tell me more of them at G2 RIP.
I've actually designed some ammunition for G2, just not the RIP round. And they're going to probably be in production by fall. With other companies, they're going to be in production probably before end of May.
Wow.
Some of them are pistol bullets. Some are pistol caliber bullets designed to be optimized for carbines. Some are rifle ammunition, and there's quite a bit of shotgun ammunition.
Huh. Wow, so, that's that. I had no idea.
Also,
I was being facetious, but as it turns out, I should keep quiet.
Also, if you look at some of the guns that are coming out now, some of the user interfaces in the weapons that have come out last year and are coming out this year have been due to me handling the prototypes and coming up with redesigns of things like charging handles and stock locks and sights and so on.
Oh. So you handled it and said, oh, no, don't do that.
I handled it and said, look, here's what happened when newbies used it. Here's what happened when experienced people used it. Here's what's going to happen if your hand slips off this control. Here's what happens if you have a stock cartridge and you don't have the sufficient leverage or sufficient pressure to extract it. And here's how you can fix it. If you look, for example, at the charging handle on the CMR-30 carbine that Kel-Tec is about to come out with, that's been their redesign based on what they already had going halfway through the production, based on my complaints and some of the drawings that were sent. It's a very minor redesign, but it makes the weapon tremendously more usable.
I guess I don't actually read gun magazines myself. Not even Jay's. But I do see a lot of your work on the internet, and I actually see it because and it's kind of funny because I'll see some graphic pop up, on some social media thing, and I look at it and I go, that looks like an Oleg.
And it is.
And while I have a fairly wide variety of lighting styles at this point, I do have fairly recognizable style in terms of composition and contrast that I use in the image. So it does seem fairly recognizable. And at this point, a lot of what I do is a mix of commercial and non-commercial work because I can often make a commercial project carry social message. Or conversely, have a right to bear arms message that is done as part of a commercial project. That way I can afford the time to make it happen.
That makes sense. So I guess what, if you could be in charge, king for a day or whatever, what is your, what would you like to happen?
I would like to drive a cultural shift that would give people greater appreciation for determination, both their own and that of people around them. I think that a much greater respect for other people's free will is all the cultural shift that's needed to make everything else better. I don't want to micromanage. I merely want to drive what amounts to a cultural recognition that things work better when I mind my own business and other people mind their own.
That's a tough sell.
Cooperation without coercion.
Yeah, that's a tough sell, though. I mean, there's a lot of people that actually enjoy telling other people what to do.
Mm-hmm. And that brings us to the ethics of it. If somebody tells me that I need to do something, I might do it or I might not do it. But if they tell me, let's say, exercise or eat this apple or else, the or else parts puts them at odds with me no matter what the advice was. And it's the same thing. Everybody likes sex. Nobody likes it under duress. So the difference is almost between intimacy and rape, and it doesn't matter if it is a sexual matter, an economic matter, a matter of entertainment, nutrition, anything else. It's one thing to advise other people, and it's one thing to give them incentives to do something the way you want to, and it's quite another to threaten them or their livelihood or try to coerce them in some way. And I find that there is entirely too much willing coercion in politics everywhere for my comfort.
Wow, that's a great analogy. I love that analogy. That's really good.
You need look no further than the explosion of AR-15 sales when people thought they might get banned again. That the surest way to get stuff out there is to tell the American people they can't have it.
That is definitely true. "You Ain't the Boss of Me" is one of the national motives. I would like to see it exercised with a little bit more deliberation.
Yeah. You and me both. Hey, thanks.
It's very sympathetic, symptomatic that the conservatives, who are reputed not to be friendly to a variety of causes, are actually far friendlier to other people's causes, even without endorsing them, than the left is towards causes they do not like. For example, Pink Pistols has been well received by the Republicans, but not necessarily by some of the gay rights groups. And it's the same exact people doing the same exact thing, and yet certain folks who feel that their cause is not right on the conservative side disagree without trying to do anything about it, whereas the anti-gun people disagree and try to make it stop. So I find that overall, I find more of a common cause with the more conservative side because they're far more restrained about actually pushing it on others.
Kind of a, yeah, we don't necessarily agree with you, but, you know, whatever.
That's pretty much it. Whereas some of the traditional left takes it as a personal affront and want to make it stop by all means, including government force.
Yep. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Oleg. And we're out of time.
Glad I was able to join, if only for a few minutes.
Well, it was great. Thank you so much. And we are, we'll be back next week, everyone. Thanks for listening. And thanks for those of you that called in. And that's it.
And tune in, same squirrel time, same squirrel channel.
Yeah. Bye, everyone.
Good night, Internet.
Bye, everybody.